Hey Alexa, you ready for the spotlight?
You know it, Jace. Let's hope I don't f*** it up this time. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to Jace the Producer Presents The Shuffle.
One of the mysteries in life is sound explosion. Only one push and I'll give you music.
Radiocast FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, today here on The Shuffle, I am talking to a really, really good friend. His name is Mr. Stanley Roberts, and I have been following his path of media and his YouTube stardom, and now over at AZ Family. I have a really great conversation to have with him. We're just going to get right into it. Stanley!
What's up?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am outstanding. Getting started, going back to your past, I want to start off by saying, you're not even from Arizona. You're actually from the East Coast.
I was born in Philadelphia. I'm like a third or fourth generation Philadelphian. Then I moved to Camden and went to partially elementary, junior high school, and high school in Camden, New Jersey, and then moved back to Philadelphia before moving to California.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air. In West Philadelphia, born and raised, on the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cooling, all shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air." I begged and pleaded with her day after day, but she packed my suitcase and sent me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said, "I might as well kick it." First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass. Is this what the people of Bel Air living like? This might be alright. But wait, I hear the prissy bourgeois and all that. Is this the type of place that they just send this cool cat? I don't think so. I see when I get there. I hope they're prepared for the Prince of Bel Air. Plane landed, and when I came out, there was a dude looked like a cop standing there with my name out. I ain't trying to get arrested yet, I just got here. I sprang with the quickness like lightning disappeared. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said fresh and it had dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, man, forget it. Yo, home's the Bel Air. I pulled to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo, home, smell you later." Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
You have been all over the place. You are well-traveled. And not only are you well-traveled, you're very well-spoken. And that is good, not only for your job, but for the fact of, you meet a lot of people and you discuss different things with a lot of people. And you don't come off as aggressive. You know, some people come off as ignorant or disrespectful.
But I am aggressive. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mr. Aggressive. It is what it is.
But, you know, not only that, but you're an award-winning journalist, a video journalist, and that in itself speaks volumes. So first off, I just want to say congratulations on all your accolades. There are just so many. I'm not going to run through the list because you know you have a bunch. We all know you have a bunch. I want to know how you got started in media.
Well, let's go back to high school to give you some, I guess, a prerequisite of how I ended up in TV. I worked in the audiovisual crew in high school. Okay, that's, blah, blah, blah. little cameras here and there. Back then, that was, you know, cameras weren't where they are now. And then in Philadelphia, I actually walked into KYW and saw if I could get a job as a trainee, but no one ever, they ignored me completely. Fast forward to Salinas, California, reading the paper, they were looking for a Fox channel out there, KTBA, was looking for a weather person. And I always loved the weather. I was a big fan of Action News in Philadelphia, and they had the weather there. And I thought, I mean, how hard is it to tell the weather? It's either raining or it's not raining.
True.
So the ad, yeah. So the ad said, come in, but no, I'm sorry. Do we take that back? The ad did not say come in. The ad said, do not, oh, no walk-ins accepted. Just send us your resume. Well, obviously I didn't have a resume. So guess what I did?
You made one.
I walked in. No, I didn't make one. I can't make one. I never had anything to do with it. I walked in anyway, and there was a gentleman there at the front desk named Sparky. They had like a temporary studio in Salinas, and at that point, before they had moved to the bigger studio. And I said, hey, I want to apply for your weather job. And I guess he kind of laughed and called the news director. And the news director came over and said, and we sat down. His name was Paul Miller, and his wife's name was Kirstie Wild, who I found out later. She was a big to-do in TV. Anyway, long story short, I tell him what I want to do. He says, well, do me a favor. Go home and watch the news for 2 weeks. Come back and tell me how you would do it differently.
Okay.
And it wasn't until recently that I realized that he was probably going to be like, yeah, he'll never be back. So at least I got him to go try something. What he didn't know was that that was my lifelong dream to do stuff like this. So I went home and watched the news for 2 weeks and wrote notes. Came back with my own idea of how the news should be done.
Really?
And we sat down and he read my notes and the chicken scratch that I wrote him in. And he says to me, you know what? I like you. You got balls. I'm going to give you a job.
There you go.
Not as a weatherman. Yeah, not as a weatherman, but we'll find a place for you. And that, I was given a broom and a dustpan, and I did studio camera. And that's how it all began.
different. Different tastes in music. Makes no difference what you like. If you want it, we got it. Right here.
Rock with the Pack. Wolf Rock Radio. Cleveland.
And then the rest is history.
Well, I taught myself how to shoot and edit.
Okay, so you taught yourself how to edit. That's interesting because I edit audio, and having to go back and do both audio and video and all that, it seems like a headache. But you're self-taught. That's really interesting.
Well, here's how it became. Because I realized, and I want to express this to people who are trying to further their career, is that as a studio cameraman, and those were they weren't robotic cameras, they were just a camera, and this was before the first Persian Gulf War, I realized that if they were to downsize tomorrow, that the cameraman would be the first one out the door, because I'm just standing here holding the camera. I mean, anybody can do that. I need to make myself more valuable. So to make myself more valuable, I want to know how to edit. So I said, hey, can someone teach me how to edit? And they said, well, we can't teach you, but here's a book. You can read it. Well, I don't do much on theory, but I do much on practical. So I got in the room, locked myself in the edit bay, and for several hours, I taught myself how to do this and asked a few questions. And 2 days later, the director said, I told you to read a book, and now you know how to edit. How'd that happen?
Now, I hate to make an old joke, but was this reel to reel, or how was this this video?
Oh, I'm not. Oh, come on now, man. I'm not that old. It was beta.
It was beta. Okay, that beta max.
Where's this block button that on here? Block.
Block. Dump.
Block. Unfollow.
Oh, that's not nice, Stan. That's not nice.
Sorry.
No, I didn't know, because the way that we have it now, everything's recorded. You can go back and enter time codes and you can do it now. But what was that like then? Was it literally the cutting room floor?
Well, we rubbed two rocks together and then we got smoke out of it. And then we took the smoke and, all right, since you want to go way back. No, it was beta and it was state-of-the-art beta cams. It was 300 BBW, whatever the name were on the beta. So it was beta, the smaller beta, and not the beta that you use at home. It was called beta for it was for broadcast. So I skipped 3/4 inch, I skipped film, and went straight to beta. And then it wasn't until I moved to Los Angeles that I went backwards to 3/4 inch. I'm like, what is this?
Same concept, just a different tool.
Yeah, but now I'm doing Avid, which is unique in itself because Avid is a lot of steps to make one edit.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's 100 steps to do everything. You just got to find the more efficient way to do it.
Yeah, and so I'm learning Avid because I just started using Avid when I moved to Arizona. Before that, I had it was in LA. It was mostly, I had, what was it? You know, the different formats for shooting?
Horizontal. That's about all I got. When you're recording and you're recording something.
Well, yeah, beta, 3/4 inch. You have, the different cameras. You have, P2s, which back then when I was over at NBC in LA, the P2 cameras needed two. They were like the Jaguars of TV because one always broke.
Now I want to talk about some of the action shooting that you've done, because you haven't just film for the news. You have filmed LAPD, Life on the Beat. You've done some high profile stuff like the Rodney King trials, the OJ trials, the Los Angeles riots, the North Hollywood shootout. I mean, is there a line in the sand where you're like, dude, my life is far more important than having a video representation of what's going on?
You know that switch that you have that says, don't do it?
Yeah.
When everyone's running from something, I have this system where I actually run towards it. And don't ask me why. I guess because I grew up in Camden, I grew up in Philly. I'm a little bit different. I go towards the danger and not away from it. As a matter of fact, going towards the danger for me is more of an adrenaline rush than going away from it. I'm kind of, I guess, news. And if you add a Y, it's kind of like newsy or nosy or O. So I'm kind of nosy in a sense. So being nosy helped, but not having that sense of fear is a trait that I think would probably work against me sometimes, because I've had confrontations. I've been on a shootout. As a matter of fact, let's talk about the North Hollywood shootout.
I mean, do you ever fear like, okay, I'm getting way too close to this, or this is getting way too close to me?
I haven't reached that level yet. Okay, so I'll give you a good example of North Hollywood shootout. So I'm actually working for CBS LA at that time. And I was in Westwood with another reporter named Mary Grady. And she can testify that she's actually a PIO for the airport, for LA Airport right now. I think LA Airport Police Department. Anyway, so we were in Westwood doing something, and then we heard a call about a bank robbery in North Hollywood, and that there was a cop shot.
Was that the Bank of America?
I think it was the Bank of America one, yes.
Okay, so you have a different title for it. I know it as the Bank of America shootout.
I called it. And I call it the North Hollywood shootout.
Okay. Now we're on the same.
We're on the same one. Yes. The same deal. It's just that people have different names for it, you know, like tomato, tomato.
Okay. So now that we're talking about.
We're talking about the same thing.
Okay. They were shooting bullets everywhere. And, you know, for the longest time, and even just watching documentaries and watching it on TV, you see that they have armor on. You see that they're shooting cops down like they're nothing. How far were you from this?
Okay, so Westwood, as relates to West Hollywood, is basically a 405 freeway. And if you know how to navigate the freeways in LA, then you jump off into the 170, I believe it was. And so here's the deal. We don't, back then when this happened, I didn't have a TV set. I didn't have a radio. All we had was, hey, we got reports of a scanner. We're in a scanner. And they're saying two officers shot, but I'm thinking maybe they mean security guards, because who in their right mind would shoot two cops, you know? And that's what I'm thinking in my head. As we get there, I'm like, okay, I need to figure out how to get there to avoid any barricades. The first thing the police do, I make a turn and come up behind the back of the bank. And as I make the turn to come up from the back of the bank, there's a car that goes by, a car goes by. And its back windows are shot out. But I didn't pay no mind what it was. Turns out that we had actually pulled in right into the shootout. So if you, and if God is my witness, if you look up the crime scene log for LAPD, Mary Grady and myself were the only two journalists listed on the crime scene log because we were actually in the middle of the crime scene. I was about 30 yards away from the first guy that was killed and 100 yards away from the second guy that they got in the shootout with in the car. So you can't get any closer than that.
No, you can't.
And during the whole time, and I didn't know that these guys had body armor. I didn't know that they were following, they were using bullets that can shoot through, you know, they found rounds two blocks away. They call them Teflon coated, I believe. So, and they were using drum magazines, which carried high capacity magazines, which is, I think, started one of the reasons why California now makes it harder to get high capacity. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right.
That's the reason why, but that was the beginning of the changes.
Okay.
They had better, and the truth is, be it told, the bad guys had better guns than LAPD, to the point where LAPD had to go to a gun store and say, we need something better. The shotguns and handguns won't work.
And that's scary.
Through the grace of God, no cop was killed.
Radio Cast FM.
Hey, folks, it's Jace. We'll be right back with more Stanley Roberts right here on The Shuffle. Let's pay some bills first. We'll be back right after this.
If you have a pet, you know how difficult it can be to handle business. Ranger Rob's pet poopy bags are number one and the number two business. Ranger Rob pet poopy bags are easy to manage with handles and they're extra wide. These bags will accommodate pets of any size. With 120 per box, that's about a two-month supply. Ranger Rob pet poopy bags are made from biodegradable material that make it effortless and easy to make knots so that you do not have to touch the business. The box even transforms into a handy dispenser. Ranger Rob pet poopy bags are even lemon-scented. They are made big enough for even the largest of dogs and thick enough to ensure that there is no mess. They're also great for cat litter boxes. Simply place your hand in the bag, pick up the waste, and reverse the bag over your hand and tie. Head over to RangerRobShop.com for more information on Ranger Rob's pet poopy bags. Welcome to DJ Chino, TSP.com, home of DJ Chino and Top Sprint Productions, a premier mobile DJ service that is fully licensed and insured. Top Sprint Productions has packages to accommodate all your services and needs, including lighting and a photo booth. DJ Chino specializes in services for weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, holiday parties, corporate events, church functions, quinceañeras, or any event that you just want to make special. You can call DJ Chino at 347-538-4344. That's 347-538-4344. DJ Chino and Top Sprint Production has servicing areas such as Delaware, Maryland, Philadelphia, New Jersey, and New York. You can find DJ Chino and Top Sprint Productions on all of your social media at DJ Chino TSP on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or at DJChinoTSP.com. Book DJ Chino today at 347-538-4344. That's 347-538-4344. DJ Chino and Top Sprint Productions, we make your events memorable.
This is your new Best Friends podcast, a weekly podcast that caters to you, the listener.
That's me.
Roman noodles and...
Roman noodles?
Ramen. Ramen. So you just have like an animal hair goatee at all times.
When I go to the gym.
You have the dog shake outside before you walk.
This bitch is giving me no respect.
Nothing bad has happened yet. It's about to get good.
Me and you.
You let her suck your...
I didn't let her.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. Can you lovingly choke somebody?
Was he, like, eaten by wolves?
No, cholesterol.
Want to be part of the show? Write in at ynbfpodcast@yahoo.com or call us at 707-461-0706.
New music now. Loading up more music. The hits are on. Hi, it's Eddie Goldie.
I'm Diplo.
What's up, guys? It's Khalid.
Hey, what's up, guys?
It's Normani.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Holly.
Star Hit 1 FM.
I film for the news, some. I get paid for what I do. I'm sure you've heard of it. You've heard of Stringer?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a Stringer here, but I've
okay.
I've also watched Shot in the Dark on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And some of the things that they go to and some of the things that I go to, there's a line I've already drawn in the sand where if it has to do with children, like, you know, a car accident where a child is ejected out of the car because of a negligent parent or whatever, I'm not going to film that because right. I have children and I don't want to exploit somebody's children for a profit. Right. I've drawn that line in the sand. And look, you do have a set of balls on you. That's for damn sure. Because you're going to stand there and film with the camera. And of course, yeah, I get it. It's your job. But at the same time, I'm going to go, I'm not dying today. It's just not. It's not.
Well, you know, let's talk about that for a second. Because when I go out there, I'm not thinking about, is this going to be the day I die? Because if you think that way, then I can't get anything done. When I was in a high-speed crash with LAPD, the TV series, the officer investigating it said that we were doing 77 miles an hour when we impacted. But I didn't think about, I mean, the joke I've always had was that we skidded for so long that I baked cookies in the back. And, you know, that's been my joke. And like, we were skating for so long, it was like slow motion skid. I'm like, I baked some cookies, I made some milk, you know, we sang Kumbaya, and then we crashed. And then I jumped out the car and kept shooting. I mean, that's the joke I say. And I guess my humor is what keeps me from losing my mind. And as a journalist, like the ones that go in these wars, they're not there thinking, I could die today. When a cop goes out in the morning, he doesn't wake up and go, God, I hope I don't die today. You just go out and do your job. And then when adrenaline rush is over and everything's done, you go, wow, what just happened?
Has there ever been an event that you've filmed that you've gotten to close to that point?
I've had some moments even now that I go, wow, you know, what did I just really catch that on video? I mean, some of those viral videos were moments that you go, holy crap, what just happened? You know, like the one with Elmo's shirt, that I call him, the guy who cursed me out from head to foot. Yeah.
I love that guy because he never stopped. Like, take a breath, homie. All right. Listen, this man's filming you doing his job. You were doing something you shouldn't have been doing. You got caught. Don't yell at the man with the camera because you're an idiot.
Well, the irony of that is that two things. First off, when someone is caught doing something wrong and they can't give a good explanation for why they did what they do, they resort to name calling. That was a classic case of someone who didn't know what to say or how to say it, so he goes to name calling. And people don't understand that when you have a camera, that camera records everything. It doesn't take a break. It just keeps recording. And I just had the button on and let him keep going. And did it bother me? No, it didn't bother me. What bothered me was that he was like, well, I don't want to be on camera. But the first thing he did was when KPLA called him was he ran to LA and got jumped in front of the camera.
Nice.
Now, if you don't want to be in camera, then don't be in camera. Don't be on camera. You can't not be on camera in your mind, but then jump in camera right after that.
And I was going to ask you, how did that whole people behaving badly segment get started? Did you just, were you on an assignment that kind of branched into another one, or was this this is what we're going to do?
I was a photographer at Cron at that time. Now, I was hired in 98 to be a photog when they were NBC. Then they were brought by another corporation a while back who then switched to something called a VJ program. VJ standing for a video journalist. As a video journalist, my job was to report the news and then stand in front of the camera and talk about the news.
Okay.
I had to go through training, editing with a new system and this and that and whatever, and how to tell stories and blah, blah, blah. But I always thought I could always tell a story because I work with reporters. Now, how we got to where we are and where we got to without going too deep into it is that apparently they didn't think I was going to cut it as a VJ.
Really?
So I need to have another 30-day training, I was told, because, you know, this was something new to me. And there was a lot of work involved in it. You did everything yourself. And then one day, so a gentleman named Brian Grice, who was the acting news director, said to me, hey, just go out there and do something called POV, which is point of view photography, point of view. So it's an acronym for point of view. And the point of view is to go out there. Okay, I go to a fire. I say, look, that building's on fire. There's a fire trucks. There's people who've been displaced. That's a lot of water being pumped on the fire. I'm reporting from the corner of blah, blah, and blah, blah. And back to you. Well, I didn't see myself doing that. I just couldn't see myself doing that. But also, when you become a journalist for so long, you also kind of hard to transfer into something else. It's kind of a job that you do, and it's like, what do I do after this? You know, I don't want to be a mailman.
Right.
So nothing against mailmen, just for the record.
You just offended every one of them.
I know. I won't get mail tomorrow. They'll forget by Monday. What I did was I came back and I said, hey, I have an idea. I would love to go out and show people doing stuff they shouldn't be doing and then talk about it. Now, they wanted me to do it live, like talk to the video why it's happening. That wasn't going to happen with me. And so I said, I'll go look at the video, come back and write to it. I love writing. As a matter of fact, if I ever transferred out of this business and got into another business, you know what I want to do?
What's that?
I want to write sitcoms because
really,
My mind travels 3 million miles a second, and it's always something funny. I can make the worst situation and turn it into humor. So, but no one's ever called me and said, hey, can you come write Friends?
No.
If
not.
Friends were on, if I was writing for Friends, it'd still be on.
Really? You think so?
I think so. Oh, yeah, because I just, oh.
I think you might be right.
Remember Star Trek?
I do.
Remember the, when a long time ago, they beam me up, Scotty?
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine if we had Alexa in Star Trek and you said, Alexa, beam me to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you know how sometimes she gets it wrong? And she goes, beaming you to the KKK.
Oh, Jesus.
No,
you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with somebody today about Alexa and how if you have the app on your phone, you can go back and listen to the questions that were asked of it. And there's a clear differential with my daughter. My daughter's like, Alexa, tell me about dinosaurs, or Alexa, tell me about this book, or tell me about the stars. And my son is like, Alexa, I farted. It's like,
what does she say?
Congratulations.
Oh.
Neither one of you are funny. Now, stop calling my name.
And then they want to hook her to my car. I'm like, nope.
Nothing.
Nope.
I want to be able to
drive. Nope, she rat me out. Stanley, why are you at the strip club? Does Diane know you're at the strip club? Maybe I should let her know.
Maybe we should call her. No, maybe.
Maybe we should call Diane. Call KKK.
Let them know where you're hanging out today.
Okay, so let's go backwards. Let's go back to the segment because we're getting off track here a bit.
We are. It's okay.
So I said to Mr. Grice, I said, I would like to do this, and for lack of a better name, I would love to call it People Behaving Bad. And his words were, well, I don't know if we can use that name, but show me what you can put together, and then we'll see where we go from there. So I did a couple of, the first one I did was about people drinking alcohol and peeing around San Francisco before it became a huge debacle of people pooping around. So it was a problem with people peeing. And the phones rang off the hook. What the hell is this? You know, and I'm like, well, but they were watching. Fast forward to recently. So I started doing the segments. Now, just to give you an idea of what my day was like for crime, not only did I do the segments, but I also shot stories for other reporters, did press conferences, sometimes drove for 2 hours to cover a story, and still had to do my own segments, but I wasn't allowed to get overtime. I had to get approval for any overtime. So in many days, I got paid for 8 hours, but I worked 12 just to put this on the air. And I did them every single day. And people go, wait, you did a segment every day? Yes, I shot, wrote, edit everything every day by myself. So I built relationships with law enforcement to go out and do shoot stories and all that. So then when finally I realized that I couldn't afford to live in San Francisco anymore because I was renting a room. The rent was too high. And I told the station that I can't afford San Francisco. They told me to move out further away and drive in. So their idea was to move out further away like the Tracy and commute in every day, which was ridiculous. And they weren't going to pay me extra. They didn't think I was worth it. And so when I finally decided that I was offered a possible job in Arizona, I was told that, I know that you just got this job offer, but give me a week or so to try to come up with a better offer. I'm like, well, that's honorable. A week later, they said, well, you know, we trademarked the name People Behaving Badly, so I guess you can't leave. And I said, and they told me that, you know, I don't care if you have a copyright, which I do have for the federal government. It doesn't mean anything to us. And we're a bigger company than you. So if you take us to court, we'll just, you know, basically drag you in and to make you broke. And so I ended up spending $6,000 to try to go through legal fees. But they were billing me for stuff like email being read. And so then I realized that you're right, I can't afford it. So I just said, drop it. And they called YouTube up and said, I stole the video. And YouTube deleted my account, and 90,000 plus subscribers went out the door overnight.
I remember that. I remember when that happened.
Yeah. So this is all fact. This isn't something I'm making up. This is, you know, you wanted to get into the details. Well, here are the details.
Yeah.
Am I bitter? No, I'm not bitter.
No?
I mean, no, I'm not. Why do I need to be bitter? I mean, I still have some very faithful followers who, as they told me, that if I was in hell writing stories, that they would follow me there. But I'm like, it may be too hot there. I'm from the Bay, bruh. Yeah, the home of Mac Dre, bruh. All of niggas six, bruh. I got my money up. Baby girl, acting funny, what? Call 3 more double dutch. Menage, that's a double nut. Double nut. I showed up to your city, now they loving us. It's too bad I never loved enough. Nope. And Motif, I had to double up. Woo. Two nights in a row, huh? I'm pulling up. Geech, geech. Get an ass on her peach. Plus my outfit beefy, I think her name was Fifi. She said she was from Hercules, and she just wanna be free. I'm like, yeah. Come holler at the new nigg. Take it to the city, see the new brig. Too sure where I learned it from. I'm from the Bay, bruh. Bay, bruh. Bay, bruh. I'm from the Bay, bruh. I'm from the Bay, bruh. Yeah, the home of Mac Dre, bruh. All the niggas, bruh. 707 up the waves, bruh. AOB all day, bruh.
West Coast,
Baldy. I'm from the Bay, bruh.
Feelings. Bitch, I'm trying to make millions. Put some paint where it ain't. Sherwin Williams. I'm from the Bay. Vallejo. The V. I go stupid. Try to help like a Murphy. I tried to tote her from the gate. Her boyfriend hella fake. I can see right the insane. Like some scotch tape. I'm the type that'll do what I want, not what I can. He the type that'll throw a rock and hide his hand. I'm from the Bay. Side shows randomly. Stanley Roberts. People behaving badly. Oh, hide in the drum. Finna hit a telly. Never take a bitch home. I'm having my meanings. What's your handle? What you going by? What's your name? Earl Stevens. I'm blessed in the head. I'm throwing to the mind. I'm about my bread all the time. Heavy on the grind. Zodiac sign. Scorpio, baby.
I'm from the Bay, bruh. Bay, bruh. Bay, bruh. I'm from the Bay, bruh. I'm from the Bay, bruh. Yeah, the home of Mac Dre, bruh. All the niggas say is bruh. A day out the way, bruh. AOB all day, bruh. I'm from the Bay, bruh. Taco trucks all day, bruh. 6 hours from LA, bruh. Everybody got the J's, bruh. Let's just coupe on trays, bruh. Yeah, that fucking from the Bay. I got my car, boy. Nah, smoking ain't hard, boy. In a foreign puffin' on some noise. I'm on the line like an Android. We out in Vegas fight night for I run a Floyd. Uh-huh. How you do that there? Homie was a lame ass, but they should've knew that there. First Friday out in Oakland was a zoo out there. I heard them boys robbing, so be cool out there. Come holla at the new nigga. Take it to the city, see the new bridge.
E40 where I got it from.
Hey, Cole, where you from, shawty?
I'm from the Bay, bruh. I'm from the Bay, bruh.
I think you can accept that your segment pissed off a lot of people, including Elmo Shirt Guy, who may hear, who may hear this one day and be like, oh, they're talking about me. But he's going to call me all those names that he called you, but it would just be one solid beep across the board. But I have to, I want to bring something up that's really important, and that's your work brought a lot of people together because of your health. And if you're willing to talk about it, I remember you had a stroke.
I did. So here's the interesting thing about the stroke. And just for the sake of telling you, the doctors still don't know what caused the stroke. And so it's believed that it was caused by stress. Again, putting together every story every single day, 12-hour days, getting paid for 8 hours. The stroke was weird for me because I was laying in the bed. I woke up on that fateful day of August 25th, I believe it was, which was ironically my anniversary at Kron, and I tweeted out that this is my anniversary. Took a picture of my original badge and laid down, simply laying down to watch some more the TV in the morning. I'm just chilling in my little one-room apartment in Belmont. All of a sudden, I looked up. I wanted to grab my phone to see if anyone even responded to the tweet or liked it. Yeah, I'll check it for like. I'm guilty.
Don't we all?
And then my arm felt like it was swollen. My hand felt swollen. And I reached my hand up to look at my hand to see if it was swollen because it felt swollen. And then all of a sudden, it went from my what appeared to be my hand through my whole body within an instant. And I realized that I had a stroke. And I tried to call 911, but you can't talk. So they couldn't understand. I didn't know what to do. I ran to a neighbor because the house was empty. I ran to a neighbor's house and knocked on his door and handed him the phone. And 911 said they were still on the phone. And he just told him that there's something wrong with him. Because he didn't know I had a stroke. He didn't know what a stroke was, except for you can see one side of my face was droopy. Anyway, long story short, fire department shows up. I remember the guys coming into the house, sitting on a chair. One side is kind of like numb, no movement, droopy side of the face. And the firefighter walks and looks in the room. I don't know what he was looking for. I guess he was trying to see if there was anyone else in there. And then they decide, well, we took blood pressure both sides. And they thought maybe I had Bell's palsy because the blood pressure wasn't that variable. But then they said, you know what? For the sake of emergency, we're going to take you to the hospital and assume it's a stroke. But they didn't treat me for a stroke in the ambulance. They just took me there. And when they got there, they realized that this was more serious than they thought. And they were going to airlift me to Stanford. Do you have any questions before I go any further?
No, I'm listening intently because I remember a lot of this. Coming out on social media, not the whole backstory.
Well, here's the funny part, and I'll go into that in a minute about social media. But so let's go back to where I was. So I'm in there laying in the room, and at that point, Diane worked at CBS in Los Angeles. So my daughter called me, who was in, and she was like, Dad, are you okay? I don't know what made her call. And she thought I was joking. So she goes, stop playing, and what's going on? Because I couldn't speak. A doctor comes in, and they put me in to do a CT scan. I guess a CT scan or whatever, some kind of like, it was weird because I was in there for like a half an hour and I was starting to get claustrophobic because you're stuck in this thing. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They finally pull me out and then they take me back to emergency and they say, Mr. Roberts, okay, you've had a stroke. So here's what we can do. We can give you a shot called a TPA shot, I believe. But he said, I know you can't talk, but here's the deal. If I give you this shot, there's a 3% chance you can die instantly.
Really?
And you know, the other one, it may help. So I gave him a thumbs up. I'm like, okay, let's just, you know, I've never ran from before. I want to run now. And 3% is pretty low. So they give me a shot. You feel it go in. And then I started having multiple strokes after that. Really? So I guess that's how you die instantly, like from having more strokes. I don't remember a lot of it. I was told that it was a code blue situation at one point. And they kicked me out the room because they thought that I was going to pass away. I've only told select people this. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. It's just something that went down. Mm-hmm. People didn't know this. Again, they don't know what caused the stroke. It wasn't my diet. I didn't have high cholesterol. It wasn't for blood pressure. They just think I may have been stressed. It may have been too much stress. I tried to do too much at one time. And now back to the social media part of it. So I couldn't talk. And the hospital knew who I was, and they put me on lockdown. So only a select group of people can show up, and no one knew what hospital I was in. That was done for security reasons.
Of course, right.
The POA, I got, it got out on social media, and people were calling Diane to find out what was going on. Now, she unknowingly was getting information, and they were tweeting it out, which to this day, those people who did that are dead to me.
Fair enough.
Because it wasn't their business at that point.
No, it wasn't.
But my information was made public because the people wanted to boost their social media by saying, you know, what they knew and what they didn't know, which may or may not have been true. But I got flowers from different police officer agencies. They sent me I got all these flowers at the hospital, even though no one knew what hospital I was in. But I guess law enforcement could figure that out.
I'm sure you're the not irony of that person was, to find.
Yeah. So the irony of that was that they sent flowers and I'm allergic to flowers.
Really?
So allergies.
Ah, Jesus.
So then I caught pneumonia from all the flowers. So I had a stroke, pneumonia, and you ready for the last one?
Uh-huh.
I developed a kidney stone.
I've had that before. That sucks. I've had kidney stones, man. That's no joke.
Now, remember I told you Cron never really did promotion?
Yeah.
They did two promotions. One was when I was attacked in Berkeley, and the other one was when I had a stroke. Johnny Roberts had a stroke. We're going to have the information about him. And when you come back, we're going to talk to Stanley Roberts when he gets better. That didn't go over very well with me.
What a bunch
because
of...
Because that's all I was good for was promotion when I get sick or I get attacked.
See, I can't stand people like that. And you stayed with them a while after your stroke as well.
I was at Cron for 20 years. I left on my 20th year anniversary. Ironically, on the 20th of August, my anniversary was 25th. So I left like 5 days before I would have been 20 years.
Could you give us a rundown of where people can find you? Facebook, I know, is one. And YouTube, you mentioned Brubeck.
Yeah. So Facebook is Stanley Roberts News. That's my fan page. Twitter is Stanley Roberts, and you'll know because it's verified. I'm also verified on Facebook. Instagram is Stanley Roberts TV, and I'm also verified. There's also Arizona, Stanley Roberts Arizona, which is not verified, but that's me. I just pushed up that direction. I'm trying a little bit of TikTok, but no one really cares about TikTok for me, so I don't really get a lot of traction with it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't tried TikTok, so I want to make sure people...
So am I missing anything? YouTube is Stanley Roberts, a.k.a. TV Man 1981.
That's the one. That's where people can find you and find more of the segments that you're uploading. Plus, you're doing videos with your lovely wife now, too.
Yeah. And don't forget, since I'm with a TV station, AZ Family, which is hashtag AZ Family or www.arizonafamily.com, and then look up the court misbehaving link.
Perfect. I'm going to make sure we get a chance to follow you everywhere. Stanley, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. I know it's been...
I appreciate you taking time to ask me some of the questions and get a chance to spill my guts for 1 hour. And
yes. But you know what? This is the best part about it is because it becomes so much fun for me just learning about you and the things that have made you who you are today and not just the person that we see on the screen, whether it be a big screen, a small screen. I like learning people. Just learning people.
Well, I'm glad we had a chance to chit chat, and I had a lot of stuff to do today, and I wanted to make sure I made you a priority because I promised you, and I don't believe in breaking promises. So I usually don't make promises unless I plan on living up to that promise. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is my time. I want to thank Stanley Roberts for joining me on this show. I know you have a lot going on. You got a lot of things to do out there in Arizona. A great friend of mine, folks, and I've been following him for many, many years. Stanley, it was a pleasure speaking with you. I hope you and Diane have a great week or great weekend, whatever you guys decide to listen to this. And with that in mind, folks, just be kind to one another, all right? Because if not, Stanley Roberts going to tape you doing something and put you up on the news. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jason, the producer. I will see you guys next time. See you later. Bye!